With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Welcome back, folks. We are the beneficiary every week of having Guy Williams, president of Gulf Coast Bank and Trust, join us to talk about all kinds of different issues, and we got a lot to talk about today. Guy, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much. Good to be with you.
Guy, I wanted to touch base first on a couple of issues that are going on out in Eastern Europe. I know that you have your finger on the pulse of a lot of what's going on out there. Russia turns off Finland's gas supply. I guess this is going to be the retaliatory act taken by the Russians, and I guess this will continue on for a long time to come.
Yeah, Vladimir Putin was emboldened by his success the last dozen years. He invaded Georgia, got away with it, invaded Crimea, got away with it, invaded eastern Donbass and got away with it. And so he thought that he could keep doing it, much like Hitler in World War II. He invaded Ukraine, and really, even the U.S. thought that he was going to win a pretty quick victory. You know, we withdrew people from our embassy, as did other European countries. And so for a while, it looked good. But now the Ukrainians have fought so hard and it has made other countries like Finland, which shares an 800-mile border with Russia, very nervous. And so Finland said, we need to join the NATO alliance because we don't trust Putin. And there's no reason you should trust him. You know, as his troops evacuate some of the areas, we find out they've been guilty of horrible atrocities and war crimes. So Finland says they're going to join the NATO alliance. Russia's doing what they can to punish them, which is stop selling them gas and also electricity. It's not going to matter that much. Finland does have some independent supplies, but it will cause some short-term pain.
No, absolutely. And it's going to be interesting to see what's going to ultimately happen there. The Swedes are saying that they want to join as well. It looks like they're Turkey has objected it initially, I'm told, but I guess they're still working through that process.
Well, Erdogan is using this as an opportunity to get more of what he wants. There are a number of issues that Turkey has with the EU. One is, for a while, it looked like Turkey would join the European Union. That's been put in the deep freeze and, you know, may not happen for decades, if ever. But Turkey also was in line to buy some F-16 fighters. But in the meantime, Turkey bought a Soviet anti-missile defense. And so the U.S. said, wait a minute, we're not going to let you have a Russian air defense system and then send over F-16 and F-35 fighters so that you can share intelligence with Russia on how to defeat our first-line fighters. So we canceled the order. So now Turkey has said, okay, we won't buy the F-35s, but we want F-16s in exchange for approval to let Finland and Sweden get into NATO. So he's using that as a negotiating tactic to see where he can go and see how much leverage he has. There's also ongoing tension because the Kurds were our ally in Iraq and very instrumental in beating ISIS. But the Kurds would like to be independent of Turkey. So that's another complicating factor. So our relationship with the Kurds always complicates our relationship with Turkey.
Yeah. Let's pivot. You've talked a lot about nuclear energy and the importance of SAME because it is virtually free of carbon emissions. The Biden administration had put up a sum of money, I think it was about $6 billion in a program to try and save some of the nuclear generated power in this country. And just this past week, the one of the Entergy announced that it would be shutting its Palisades plant, which employs about 600 workers. No one has stepped up to buy it just yet, and it looks like folks are just, they're not having this warm and fuzzy with this administration on nuclear either, and they don't want to take these chances.
Well, the challenge is nuclear has been out of favor for probably two decades. And one of the things that is really puzzling to me is we've had a nuclear power industry since the 50s. We have two nuclear power plants in Louisiana. Nobody even thinks about them because they just generate power and we don't have issues. So now here we are half a century later, technology's improved. We should be able to build nuclear power plants for less money, build them more quickly, and build them in a much safer manner because we've had, once again, half a century of progress. But because they've been out of favor, no one wants to take that risk. And one of the challenges is the federal government makes it almost impossible to build a nuclear plant. They spend years and years on approvals. And the question I would ask is, what is it in year three or four that you're really looking at that you couldn't have looked at in year one or two? I mean, I just don't think that the approval process needs to take 5 years, 6 years to get a nuclear power plant online. I think using new technology, using the lessons learned, we should be able to say, okay, we can approve a nuclear power plant in a year. You've got a full year, take a look, use the newer designs. But until we give the industry some certainty, and I think there's probably going to have to be some federal funding because we've made it so expensive, it's going to be hard to justify. Now, one of the good things, if we do go nuclear, you can use nuclear power to create hydrogen from water, and there is a CO2-free fuel. So suddenly you have a fuel you can use for locomotives, for 18-wheelers, that isn't reliant on batteries that you have to import from China. So I think there's a lot to be said for nuclear power, but we need an administration and a Congress that gets behind it and says, look, this is the way we want to go.
Yeah, I mean, this Palisades plant is in Michigan, 800 megawatt, and it's exactly what you just described. It's a 50-year-old plant, and it needs some updating, but they don't want to make the investment because they don't see a future in nuclear. I mean, it's a shame. I mean, we have 92 nuclear reactors in this country.
Well, and because we lost interest in nuclear power, you know, we just quit developing new alternatives and just let the old ones get older and older. And a lot of them do need to be, replaced. I remember vividly when we had brownouts in Brooklyn, maybe 6 or 8 years ago. The folks in Brooklyn called the energy people up and said, look, you know, we can't have this. We have to have cheap, dependable power. And, you know, you're operating our nuclear power plant at Shoreham. You know, we need you to solve this problem. And energy said, well, there are a lot of solutions. You know, one is if you'll let us build high tension lines, we can bring hydropower down from Canada. So we don't want to do that because it's aesthetically unpleasing and we just don't want those high tension lines. So, well, we can run natural gas from Pennsylvania and do gas powered plants, very dependable, you know, reasonable operating cost. We don't want natural gas. And by the way, we also want you to close the Shoreham nuclear plant because it's too close to New York. Well, the energy folks said, look, we didn't move the plant. I mean, it's where it's always been. So, well, you need to close it anyway. So energy said, look, we'll go back to Louisiana and work on this. But basically, New York wanted a magic solution. They wanted clean, cheap, inexpensive green power, but without pipelines, without high tension lines, without nuclear power. And the solution's not magic. You just can't do it. So there has been no solution, unfortunately. And it is unfortunate because nuclear and natural gas would be the perfect bridge to a carbon-free future.
We let's pivot yet again. Guy, National Economic Council Director Brian Deese said Sunday that high inflation rates across the country are a result of the economy's period of transition in recovering from the pandemic. It seems as though we're not using transitory any longer. It's a period of transition. We're moving from the strongest economic recovery in modern history to what can be a period of stable and resilient growth. Your thoughts?
That's an interesting way of describing a monetary phenomenon. We had a V-shaped recovery, which is true, great recovery, just a phenomenal recovery. But we also put a lot of money into the economy. You know, year over year, we've been increasing money supply by over 30% for the last couple of years. The problem is the classic too much money chasing too few goods. Now, that was made worse by the China shutdowns, made worse by the supply chain problems, made worse by the COVID shutdowns. But all of those together, and of course the Ukraine war on top of that, all of those together can't offset the fact that the federal government dumped way too much money into the economy, kept interest rates way too low for too long, and now we're paying the price because the money is being spent and the supply chain can't accommodate it, so prices are going up on everything. There's an interesting example of potato chips. And you think, who cares about potato chips? Well,
I do.
The potatoes, yeah, the potatoes cost 30% more. The oil, which is a big deal, it costs 300% more. The packaging costs more. So potato chip prices have to go up. And all of those things add to inflation. The money supply growth has slowed down. It's now 6%. But if that turns into 6% inflation for the long run, that's not a good thing. So I guess that's a long way of saying I think some mismanagement by the Fed and the administration caused a lot of these problems.
So he talks about the White House playbook to tackle inflation. He says we need to give the Federal Reserve the independence to do what it does. It has the tools to combat inflation. Okay, you and I have talked a lot about this. But secondly, he says, and strikingly, we need to reduce costs and make things more affordable for families during this period. Steps that we can take to reduce the cost of internet bills that families pay or the prescription drug prices that they pay are really important right now. Well, I mean, it's kind of stating the obvious, right? I mean, we want to reduce costs of everything we buy, don't we?
Sure. Yeah, and the problem is the government has very few levers to reduce cost. I mean, it doesn't matter which administration has tried this. Richard Nixon tried it. Gerald Ford tried it. Jimmy Carter tried it. Anytime you try and use the government as a big macro lever to reduce costs, you create shortages. The way to use the government to reduce cost is to increase supply, reduce regulation, reduce taxes, encourage those things increase supply. Now, there is one area where there is some room, and it's in drug pricing. It would not be unreasonable to say to drug companies, look, if you're going to sell a drug to Germany, Spain, France, UK at a discounted price, you have to sell it at the same price to Medicare, Medicaid. Now, the drug companies won't be fond of that because they make money in the U.S. and then they sell at a discount because they have to the big European countries. But with that exception, there's just almost no room for the government price controls to do anything but to cause shortages.
Yeah, and I mean, we see that happening over and over again in either directly or indirectly as it relates to pharmacy. Big story on 60 Minutes, they were covering it, you know, the battle between manufacturers and GPOs. And, you know, we've got this middle layer here where we're not negotiating with the ultimate consumer because the ultimate consumer may pay a little bit more for that very product, but they don't want everybody in between sucking all the profit out because you really want the manufacturer to be the beneficiary of the profit. So they'll continue to manufacture these products that they're no longer making any money on.
Yeah, well, the manufacturer has to make money or they're not going to do it. I mean, one of the ugly realities is the cure to high prices is high prices. When prices go up, people will bring in more supply. And I think a perfect example of the government getting in the middle and having an unintended consequence is the baby formula situation. The FDA was rightfully concerned. There are a couple of cases of babies getting very sick and in a couple of cases dying. But they were dying from a bacteria and a virus that occurs naturally. It was also detected on the grounds of a baby formula factory, not in the formula, not in the lab that makes it, but on the grounds. Well, it occurs naturally all over the place. It occurs in things like organic tea. So the government, and they did, the big phrase is in an abundance of caution, and you always have to watch that, because when you hear that phrase, whatever comes next is almost always dumb. In an abundance of caution, they shut down the whole factory line, closed it, and so now you have no supply. Well, what people don't realize is the government had made a single source contract for baby formula with the program for indigent moms, where each state picks one supplier. So you have concentrated power, only a few suppliers. We don't allow imports from places like Europe and Canada because, I mean, after all, those babies are so sickly. Who could import their baby formula? And so by closing a plant in an abundance of caution, we created a shortage. By concentrating the manufacturer to only a few people, you didn't have diverse supply. And now we're having to fly baby formula in from Europe. So it's just an example. The government can, with the best of intentions, make the
in this country goes to WIC, which is yes. That indigent program you're talking about. So they would know better. The USDA and all of them would know better mm-hmm. as to what the supply chain, the fragility of the supply chain by shutting down this plant. Right.
Well, they made the supply chain fragile by doing single source contracts. So if states like New York and California say we're only going to use one vendor, then the small vendors go away.
Yeah, no, I get it. But I mean, but even when you're going to close the plant down under the abundance of caution theory, you should actually know what the downstream implications are before you actually do it. And the real irony here is that my understanding is that the way that the federal government negotiated these single source contracts on behalf of states is that these producers are paying are providing this at a very, very low price. So where's their incentive to go the extra mile if they're giving away basically 60% of their product and they're not making much money on it.
Yeah, if it becomes a very low margin product, I mean, you do it because it's the right thing to do, but you're not going to spend any extra energy building a redundant supply line or extra labs because you just can't afford to.
No, exactly. I mean, so we created the debacle all along. I mean, now, of course, everybody's trying to blame it on everybody else, right?
Oh, yeah. And I mean, one simple solution is we don't allow Canadian formula to be imported directly. There's a big tariff and a lot of prohibitions. Change that.
Yeah, because like you said, they're dying hand over fist over there every day, right? Babies eating Canadian formula.
Yeah, I mean, when you go to Canada, I mean, we all notice that they look so sickly. I mean, of course, we're being silly, but there was a lot of protectionism, a lot of people lobbying for tariffs and, you know, sometimes the right thing to do is just say no and say, you know what, we're just going to let that Canadian material in. And, of course, now poor moms are struggling. And, you know, I really feel for them because if you have a baby that can only tolerate one formula, you really are in panic mode.
Well, and the reality is this can happen again. It could literally happen next month because if there's an issue where it is found in the formula, and there are some challenges there, we're right back where we started from, right?
Oh, yeah. And I think it would make sense to take this as a lesson learned and say, look, we need at least a couple of suppliers for each state, and we need to open up and allow imports from other countries that have good safety standards.
Absolutely. When we come back, we'll talk about NIL, NFT, We'll talk about the collapse of safe stable coins in the crypto world, and hurricane season's here. I almost don't even really want to talk about that, but I guess we have to. We'll be right back after the break. Stay with us, folks.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Welcome back. We're visiting with Guy Williams, president, Gulf Coast Bank and Trust. Guy, name, image, and likeness. I spoke to Mike Dettillier in the opening hour of today's show relative to the NCAA. They're not doing much as it relates to this. Court action says that the players are allowed to do it. Your thoughts?
It's a whole new world, and I'm glad you defined NIL because most people don't know what that means. But the NCAA, after years of making billions of dollars from players in basketball and football primarily, lost some court cases. And now football, basketball, and any other player that wants can make money selling their name, their image, their likeness, basically making money based upon their fame. The NCAA went from having very intense rules to basically putting a dozen teenagers in a minivan and giving them a driver's license and a credit card and saying, okay, make a cross-country trip and we hope it works out well. There are essentially no rules. To start with, you as a college player can have an agent now. You can have a publicity team. You can do autograph signings. You can get paid for your picture being placed in different places. And a lot of the universities are using this as a big coaching advantage. It's sort of fun to watch the off-season hijinks. Nick Saban pulled a group of boosters in Birmingham, said the only reason we had the number two recruiting class is that Jimbo Fisher and A&M bought the entire team, spent millions of dollars on guaranteed NIL deals for A&M. Of course, Jimbo came back and took some shots back at Nick Saban, went back and forth, and finally the NCAA commissioner told both of them, look, y'all have to quit talking about this. But what they're discussing is players are now getting money, and probably the simplest and most dramatic example is Kansas. They won the basketball tournament. Good for them. NCAA made billions. But what Kansas did is they said, we're now going to have a barnstorming tour. All 18 players are on the road going to different cities in Kansas where they're signing autographs, having silent auctions, doing demonstration basketball, and the players are getting the money. So the players allegedly have been guaranteed no less than $100,000 each per player to make this barnstorming tour. But it is completely legal, and if you go to this go to the Kansas City barnstorming tour. You can get a signed jersey, you know, signed program, and the players get the money. So we're injecting a whole lot of money into college sports. And, of course, the big-time programs are really moving as quickly as they can to take advantage of this and make sure that they're getting the players they want.
Yeah, I have some serious reservations about this, about who you're actually contracting with, what are you contracting for, what if your contract provisions are in violation of school rules, how does that square up, who's actually governing what, who's regulating it? Nobody.
Well, right now, essentially nobody.
It's a personal services contract, but you fall within the disciplinary guidelines of a school as well as the NCAA, and no one is really monitoring whether or not these things are running afoul of one another. And it's going to be interesting to see, because especially not as much in the private university world, but in the public university world, you got tax dollars that are paying for a lot of what's happening for these kids on these campuses, and you know how much of that is going to be utilized for their own personal well-being, you know, photo shoots in a locker room. I don't know. Is that legal now? I mean, you know, how much say so are they going to have? I mean, should the taxpayer be financing all of this? I think there's a whole host of questions there.
Well, one of the things that's happened is the NCAA has basically taken a hands-off position, and they've said the players can be paid for everything except their athletic performance. You can't get paid per yard, per touchdown, per field goal, but you can be paid for signing an autograph, for showing up, for selling a jersey, for an NFT. I mean, that other crypto thing, you've created an Instagram image, a digital image of a dunk, a football pass, and you sell it online. Somebody pays a lot of money for it because they want to support your university or your position. And suddenly a lot of money is flowing. The NCAA has said, this is okay. Go at it. And even worse, get an agent. So, and you know, agents in sports have just very difficult reputation in terms of deals under the table and around the table. But the NCAA said, look, it is okay for a college kid to have an agent representing them to maximize their value.
Part of the friction, I think, is going to be, too, you know as well as I, you want to post pictures, you know, of you fully stretched out catching a pass or whatever, and you do some incredible athletic feat on the field, right? Well, the SEC only gives out so many media passes. They're not giving out passes to private photographers. But if I'm a player, I want them to have the best vantage view that they, you know, vantage point that they have, so that they can take the best pictures, so that I can put them out on the social network and maximize my worth. And, you know, so I don't know if they've thought about it. So we got players now going to be, there's going to be friction with administration. I mean, how many photographers can we allow on the sidelines now? I mean, you know.
Yeah, the players, of course, want their photographer, not the advocate right. photographer, because they want to right. own that picture.
But, I mean, it may be very fruitful for the advocate now, because they can sell the pictures, I guess. You know? But yeah. Once again, what I love is all of this is in a stadium that was publicly financed, and taxpayers are paying for that school. And, you know, and still, where's the taxpayers' NIL?
They're getting the joy of having the team play there. And, you know, there are probably a couple dozen programs that make money. You know, LSU is one of them, but most athletic programs lose money and are subsidized by the taxpayer, just as the stadiums are. One of the other quirks of this is that you're not required to report what you earn to the NCAA. So yeah, if you're a really good offense, You know, that seems suspiciously high for a college player, but you don't have to report it to anyone but the IRS.
Yep. And hopefully they all do that because that could be the next scandal, right?
I mean, oh, yeah. Well, I think their agents will at least advise them, look, you need to do that. But one of the things that people are nervous about, and there are some cynics who said that what Nick Saban was saying was not that he wasn't going to play. He was telling the Alabama boosters that they need to be ready to write bigger checks so that he can match Texas A&M next year. I don't think Saban ever says anything without an ulterior motive, particularly in football where he's thinking through. So I believe his statement is, look, they got a better recruiting class this year because they had a little more front-end money. We don't want that to happen again. So you guys are going to have to be ready to step up, and we're going to have some Alabama football tours, some Alabama jersey signings, some Alabama, you know, watercolor paintings sold by players, but anything to generate additional money so we can be competitive.
Oh, I agree with you. I don't think it's skeptical at all. I think, you know, there's a method to Nick Saban's madness. There always has been. And I think he has telegraphed to the boosters and the collectives, you know, these organizations that a lot of schools are putting together to leverage multiple businesses' money in these advertising packages. Get your act together because we're getting browbeat.
Yeah, and I think the transfer portal makes it that much worse because if you suddenly have a breakout season and another team says, well, you know, if you came here, you could make a couple $100,000 next season and you might only be making 50 where you are, suddenly you're tempted to leave. It's almost like free agency in basketball where teams are competing in the transfer portal. And I think that's going to be the next step is where the player's agents are talking to other coaches and saying, well, this is what he's making here. What do y'all have on NILs for me?
Yeah. Think about whether or not you go to a university where the head of Google or Facebook went to and they decide they're getting involved in this.
Well, you saw that in Oregon with their track program. Once they got the big influx of money from Nike.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see how this plays out. When we come back, we'll talk about the other acronym, NFT and crypto. Oh, excuse me. When we return, we're visiting with Guy Williams. Stay with us.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. you've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
We are back, folks. We're visiting with Guy Williams, president, Gulf Coast Bank and Trust. Guy, the collapse of a lot of this crypto money that's been going on now for about 30 or so days. Tell us about it.
Well, last week there was an unfortunate event in crypto land. There was a stable coin called Terra. And in theory, stable coins maintain a value of one for one with the U.S. dollar. Well, Terra was an algorithmic stable coin linked to another stable coin called Luna. And in theory, if Terra started to go down, they would sell Luna and change the formula so that it would always maintain its value of a dollar. Unfortunately, for people who invested, it went to zero. It absolutely collapsed. There was a run on it. Terra collapsed. Luna collapsed. And effectively, anyone who invested and thought that they had a $1 stable investment lost their money. Because this created a lot of turmoil in the market, some of the other coins, like Bitcoin, that are more popular, also collapsed in value. Bitcoin was as high as 65,000 this year. It's down to 30. And so the whole crypto world was shaken, and it just reemphasized what we've said before. There is no central governing authority. You know, we can criticize the Federal Reserve, and we can talk about the Federal Reserve, but the chairman has to go before Congress and answer questions. There's a real Federal Reserve you can go see in Washington. They do have accountability and assets. In the crypto world, there, in many cases, are no assets behind the currencies. So the folks that invested in Terra and thought that it was a stable investment literally lost everything.
What is it that they say that creates the stability? I mean, I hear people tell me all the time, well, it's blockchain technology. I said, well, that just authenticates ownership, right?
Right. Blockchain is a big deal. It's an important technology, and ultimately things like auto titles, real estate, will all be transacted on blockchain because it'll be visible, it's permanent, and it's indelible. But the blockchain technology can be used to create any sort of imaginary currency, and that's what happened with Terra and Luna. The developer said, we're going to have algorithms between these two imaginary currencies that are going to always keep it at $1 of value. Unfortunately, when you have nothing backing it but an algorithm, someone can beat the algorithm. One of the things that happens in the crypto world is you can borrow money on a very short basis, sometimes a matter of seconds. And when you borrow a lot of money, you can influence the way the next block is created. And one of the things that probably happened with Terra is people used flash loans of less than a few seconds to buy a lot of Terra, change the algorithmic rules, and then short the currency. And it all happens literally faster than the blink of an eye. And this is something where literally billions of dollars of investment turned into nothing. And there's nowhere to go when that happens. I mean, there's not an office of Terra where you can go serve a subpoena. You're just out of luck.
I mean, but so how do they account for default? If I make a flash loan and at the same time I'm yanking money out, I mean, the algorithm works that quick. It knows to block me out because I can't authenticate how much I actually have in the crypto world.
Well, now what people were using the flash loans for was to, for a moment, an instant in time, have a majority ownership in this currency so that then they, with their majority, they could change the rules in how the next block was created. Right. And at that point, the next block is created in a way that favors them. The flash loan is repaid. the currency collapsed, which you've shorted, and the person disappears into, the netherworld. And no one knows who did it, but we know that billions disappeared in Terra, and it looks like that was what was behind it. The people holding the bag were the small consumers that bought it through Robinhood, through Coinbase. And it does bring up a warning, which is the SEC has complained about this for quite a while. They don't have regulatory authority, but they have said if you have an asset and an account at Coinbase, those assets are subject to Coinbase going bankrupt. It's not like an account you might have at Vanguard or a regular exchange where you have an account at a different brokerage with SIPC insurance. You know, Coinbase is a company, and if they go bad, your assets are at risk. They've actually disclosed that in their paperwork, but a lot of people still send them a lot of money.
And can you use this as collateral in the normal sense, in the normal banking system, your value of Bitcoin?
Not in the normal banking world, but in the crypto world, you can use it to buy other cryptocurrencies and to speculate and to trade among those other currencies.
Still foreign to me. I still can't get my head around it for sure. But Guy, this hour flew by as always. Thank you so much for your time and your insight. Truly appreciate it.
No, good to talk to you.
That's Guy Williams, President, Gulf Coast Bank and Trust. We'll be right back, folks. Stay with us. Scoot's up next on Manic Monday. What do we have coming up, Scoot?
Hey, first of all, I took your advice and I went to that snowball stand off Cleary. Lulu's,
yeah.
Snowball stand.
Lulu's, that was
Yeah, you were telling me that they had this really, really powdery kind of ice. Yeah, so I checked that out. We'll talk about that. I will check in with our friend Ramon, find out where he is. Also, the conversation now about Nancy Pelosi not getting communion because she's pro-life. And Laura Dern is talking about the age difference between her and Sam Neill, the two characters in Jurassic Park. She says it was inappropriate, so we'll talk about that.
All righty, Scoot's up next with a great lineup, folks, and some great bumper music to boot. Hope you enjoyed today's show. We'll see you again in the morning.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend? Or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.